When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Guys, welcome. It's Nick Jansoff here, Holistic Health Anxiety Coach. How's everyone going today? I've got a special guest here. Gabriel is with me, amazing guy. We're going to talk about a theme. The theme's called, on this episode, is called, can you live in the heat of disturbance? Like, does it piss you off? You know, like, can we sit that or do we react? Do we act on it? Do we respond to it? How do we? Do we take a pause? Do we react calmly? How do we react calmly to something like that? And we got the power of pause. You know, is the observer, we're going to talk about the observer in this podcast, is the essence of our life. Getting in touch with that, that's what we're going to talk about. We can also talk a little bit about our ego, and is it the driver and the protector of us. And anxiety is a result of the untrained egotic conditioning. We can expand on this and the concept. This is a concept to lower our anxious minds. So the title of this podcast is Embracing the Heat, Cultivating the Peaceful Mind in the Face of Disturbance. And I'll just introduce the topic to you guys, and welcome aboard if you ever join us here. If it's your first time, we're all about anxiety. So in this podcast, in this episode, we're going to delve into living in the heat of disturbance without succumbing to reactive impulses. We explore the idea of observer as the essence of life, the real thing, the authenticity, the real us, man. And how the ego plays a role as a driver and protector. Furthermore, we will look at relationships between anxiety and untrained egotic conditioning through this, by exploring this further. We're going to go into some insights, strategies, and lower our anxious minds and cultivate this beautiful state of being. Tonight, me and Gabriel are off to a men's group. Guys, if you listen to this, I know you should have a men's group. But I'm going to let Gabriel introduce himself and tell you about why we love going to men's groups and how does this help us with not, you know, controlling our urges and reactive and getting there and dealing with our disturbance. So, Gabriel, so, yeah.
Thank you very much, Nick.
Welcome aboard.
Nice to meet you all. My name's Gabriel. What's going on?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest tests of being a man is to be able to control our animalistic nature and impulses sometimes. Maybe not everyone's super crazy, but I know that everyone's been angry at one point in their life. And anger is an extremely powerful emotion. I've got a lot to say about that one, actually. Rage in specific is, I think, the most powerful physical emotion you can body in your physical body. So I'm an athlete. My whole life revolves around teaching people and training. I teach Muay Thai and boxing, and I'm a fighter as well. And initially what got me into it was rage, but then I learned very quickly that if you fight angry, you get snapped like a board. So if you don't have control and you aren't able to manage your emotions, I literally get punished for it in the ring. I get snapped, or I get read well, like my shots are telegraphed because I'm coming in too fast, or, you know, I'm trying to be too eager or too keen, and yeah, that bites you very quickly. So yeah, and I think us as men, and the importance of a men's circle is that so much in society we're taught to either bottle our emotion or disregard it completely and pretend like it's not there and just wipe your tears with your money and carry on, you know? And I think it's a very toxic mentality, because that's actually what creates depression, creates sadness in the body, because nothing is able to be conveyed. And it's seen as a sign of weakness by other men if you are, emotional. And that's the biggest, saddest part of society, because it leads to people ending their own lives, you know. And I think there's such a strong way of navigating it that these men's circles that we've been running for months now relentlessly has created a space for men to come together and navigate our emotion in a safe space where we're able to channel, navigate, and have some kind of balance with our lives when we leave the space. So,
Man, you're so right there. You know, if we don't control our emotions, and if we don't, most of the guys are all in their masculine. We can get stuck in the masculine, right?
Mm.
Right in the sheer power of the ego. Mm. Ego feeds on fear, and fear.
Mm.
Fear grows from fear, from just fearing it. So, I think when it comes to emotional, some guys cannot regulate their emotions. Mm. They've never been taught.
Yeah.
Never been taught. They don't have the nurturing, you know, psychology. They don't have the nurturing. No one showed them to be nurtured. So even their parents couldn't show them to be nurtured. You know, that loving, you've got a protector, you know, and then you need, you know, some, so therefore we don't have that. So we find that we're limited on the feeling part, you know. We've got to be able to do something called the FOC strategy. Feel it. Own it. Own it, feel it, and process it. The FOP strategy is a lot of psychologists and counselors' work. We need to be able to be open to it, otherwise then the ego will drive us. But today we're looking at, we only got one, this will be, Gabriel, this is a few sections today, mate, but we're going to do just go on to section one, which is understanding the observer and the ego, mate. And it, you know, so the observer, the essence of life, the ego, and the driver and protector. Tomorrow we'll go into section two, part two of the episode, unveiling the link between anxiety and egotic conditioning, and which means like the nature of anxiety, or you know, the untrained egotistic conditioning, the catalyst for anxiety. We go into third section, we go into embracing calm response tools, like what can we do for us. We're going to practice our breathing and meditation and being with the circle, being with the boys, you know, being together. And really also we're doing something, the quantum meditation, which you specialize in. It tell me about the quantum quickly, on the how does that going to work for us,
like
manifestation of future.
Beautiful, like long story short, all probabilities exist in the quantum realm, and there's a particular meditation that allows us to essentially have a magnified footprint in the quantum realm. And so we do a very powerful breath work and then a pull breath, and we accelerate cerebrospinal fluid up our spine and squeeze the pineal gland. And what happens is our electromagnetic field then expands, and any intention we place into that realm, into that field, is heard in the quantum realm, magnified at a much larger rate. And then, on top of that, collectively, we bend space-time together with someone's individual intention. So we act and embody the emotional experience of living in whatever reality that individual wants to live in, as if we are living it simultaneously with them. And that vibration is much more magnified than just one person doing it by themselves. So I've been doing that for months now, and I will happily say nearly every single quantum intention that I've placed has come true. And a little workshop we did not too long ago, it was on the day with about 20 people, 9 out of those 20 people's intentions came true. So it's pretty powerful stuff.
Magic of the mind and the intention, we said, right?
Yeah, man.
I'm looking forward to that, because I, you know, at the moment, like, I'm not boasting, but it's really nice to get people to view this podcast and, you know, this people that are actually being challenged a lot, you know, by anxiety, and they don't have an idea. So we're doing, like, workshops and all this on this. They'll be private. Later on, we're doing something called exclusive membership, which is really cool. These kind of things, this will be available to public for a little while before it gets transferred to exclusivity. But there'll be like a few sections on this. So, man, it's a great, good fun to be manifesting together in the same vibration, man. Mm. I love it. Yeah, it is practice. It's mind work, you know, and just knowing what you want. And the universe actually loves us. It actually wants to support us, but we need to give it a chance to love us, to give us what we need, you know, what do you need in this life? What do you want in this life? So so we practice that vibration. But coming back to section four, we need to eventually in section four, part four of this episode, this section, cultivating the peaceful mind, the path to transformation. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's learning to the power of acceptance and letting go, embracing impermanence. What is like nothing is permanent, but you know, you can't hold on to shit because nothing needs to be held on to.
On that note, real quick, I just wanted to add, I heard something recently that touched me to the soul, is that the universe will give us what we are intending for at the appropriate ratio as how willing we are to experience the opposite. So how much are you able to let go of the intention that you want will determine ultimately how much it flows to you, which sounds crazy because you got to have the intention. We use the analogy of a bow and arrow, right? We need to pull back the arrow in the bowstring and aim for the target. That's our intention. But we'll never hit the target unless we release and let go. So it's very important that, you know, we're so focused on our intention, but we need to have the ability to trust and surrender to the natural way of the universe, which, you know, it will give you what you want, but sometimes not in the exact way you think of it, you know. And so your trusting is also very important part of dealing with that, and sitting in the difficult part, you know, sitting in the fire and the pain, just trusting that it's it eventually will pass, you know.
Beautiful. And here's what comes up next, which is point, it's the fourth section of this part. It's the gratitude, learning the power and positive psychology, being grateful for what it is. Can we sit in that disturbance? And if we can sit in disturbance, there's some gratitude, not just fight it. You know, you need to let it go, like Gabriel just said, right? But like you said about the arrow thing, we need to find that, feel it, you know, observe it and own it, and then, and then move it to the space we want it to move. So we have gratitude and positive psychology and, you know, and shifting the focus to what we want. And then we move on to talking about self-compassion, forgiveness, healing from within. Right, that's where it starts, and once we get to do that, we can find this balance, and then we, you know, and a beautiful community, like we mentioned earlier, we're going to connect together tonight in our community, finding beautiful support amongst our brothers, you know, as we practice, that's what we love doing. So I do have, let me put more light, let's put more light on the first section, understanding the observer and the ego. So the observer, as we mentioned, as I said, mentioned earlier, is the essence of life. It is everything. It's being able to separate yourself, detach yourself from a mental anguish, anxiety, anxious moment, something that's pissing you off, something that's entrapping you, something you're addicted to, something that, but by having the power to be objective and subjective, right, we're able to become the observer. That's a sweet spot, isn't it? The observer, the more we can be the observer,
the less the outside world will affect you.
That's right. Still learn to sit back or step back, right, and objectively witness our thoughts than rather fighting our thoughts. Our thoughts, you know. Morning is really difficult for me. They really get me in the morning, so I have to then remind myself, fuck Nick, you're not that. That's just your mind going off. It's not even true. It's your biased mind making up shit. And you need to come back, man. You need to be the observer. And I straight away come, take a big breath, and oh man, I'm there. I know that I bypass that stuff, and I actually sidestep the whole thoughts, and and I become the essence of my life. I've become so authentic to myself. Thoughts, circumstances. So when we're into this observer space within us, we gain this sense of clarity and perspective. It just allows us to navigate any challenges that we have with calmness and and centered mindset. You know, that's where it goes. I'll give you an example. Imagine a situation where you find yourself like in a heated argument, right? We've all been there, especially in relationships, if you're past the honeymoon season or the power struggle time. And the argument bursts out, and because you don't understand ourselves, and I talk about that in my last podcast about relationship and self-sabotage with another wonderful, another speaker here, and Kinga. So if you guys go back on that, you find out that we actually self-sabotage ourselves because it's patterns that we're carrying in mind and we're not aware of them. And then you get bored of that relationship within 6 months, man, and it's like, she bores me now because she's not giving me that negative energy that I thrive on, you know, the negative energy that I've learned in my past. And therefore, when you find something gentle, calm, in her peace, you try to sabotage that and it doesn't work. Just makes a mess of it. Better off, unless you work it out, guys, better off just letting go of that. I think I swayed on a little bit there.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Yeah. So let's look at the driver, the protector a little bit. As we said, we're going to talk about this section mainly today. About the ego, on the other hand, represents like the aspect of the psyche, our psyche that is shaped by our conditioning, beliefs, and past experience. Like, it's an act as a driver, influence our actions and decision making. Also as a protector, yes, the ego is part to protect. It's also the reptilian mind, you know, it's protecting us, also not so in our modern day and age, and causing us lots of anxiety. He thinks it's safeguarding us. Fair enough, you know, it's no one, if we don't always be jumping a bloody cliffs, yeah. If we don't have that safety net or that ego protecting us, it does serve a purpose in our lives, and it can sometimes lead to reactive behavior and can contribute to feelings of anxious mindsets. And anxiety feeds on anxiety and gets louder. It feeds on itself. It can compound, like compounding interest. Let's say that you receive like a critical feedback on a project at work, right? You put your heart into that, and your ego may interpret this feedback as a threat to your competence or worthiness. We didn't learn to sit back and react properly, saying, yeah, maybe they're right, maybe I can learn from that. I remember one time a guy said, dude, you're teaching meditation and you're podcasting meditation, but you're not feeling the words. I got pissed off about that, you know. I really got pissed off, and I started redirecting my focus on what he said, and I said, you know what, the dude's he's very right. I was just spitting out words, but they had no attachment, no connection to them. He said, they needed more warmth. They needed more warmth in what I was saying. So I get it. See, I was upset, but actually there was a silver lining to that. And then I fixed that up because of the help. I could have taken it as critical, but I took that as constructive. So recognizing the role of ego in our lives, we can begin to cultivate more conscious relationship within us. Instead of allowing the ego to dictate our reactions, we can choose to respond from a place of self-awareness and inner wisdom, guided by the observer within us. So friends, by embracing the observer in us, understanding the influence of our ego and how it plays, we can navigate this life's disturbance with greater equanimity, lighter, you know, gentle, easy, balanced kind of peace and inner mind and state. The observer allows us to detach from our ego, its driven reactions, and gain a broader perspective, while the ego, when acknowledged and managed consciously, can serve as a valuable ally rather than a source of anxiety. So you've got to be careful of that. All right, let's look at some questions before we put this potty to bed, Gabriel. Mate, practicing mindfulness and meditation is to connect with our observer and cultivate self-awareness. How does that work for us? I mean, a lot of people don't meditate.
So the way I'm interpreting that is that you can either be subjective with the experience and let the emotion control you, or you can be objective with the emotion and allow you to essentially control it, and has no power over you. So once you are able to become the observer in your environment, like we said earlier, the outside world, people's judgment, any kind of projection onto you, it literally just falls right through you. It doesn't have any power over you at all. So by being in the observer, essentially what you're doing is you're bringing yourself into the highest form of consciousness. You're bringing your spirit, your awareness back into its original form, which is purely observation with no projection from our own mind. So I heard this saying, this stayed with me forever, brother. It was when we increase our receptiveness, we increase our perceptiveness. So instead of judging what's happening to you, and instead, I'll give an example. You allow your being to be in a state of complete receptiveness. Say we're sitting still. Imagine you're sitting in a park. There is complete receptiveness of how does the weight of your body feel sitting on the earth? What does it feel like for air to enter the nose? How does sound enter your ear? Not the sound of the birds or what the leaves sound like in the trees, but what is the feeling of sound entering your ear? What does it feel like to actually create an image with your eyes when you open them? So the complete receptiveness of what's happening to you. So when you sit in stillness, you actually realize you're being bombarded with so many sensory stimulations, a ridiculous amount of them, that when you cannot project your mind onto what's happening and instead just see what is really happening, you actually increase your perceptiveness by enhancing your receptiveness. So that allows you to perceive the world in its true form and its real state, which allows you to navigate at a, you know, extremely balanced and also real way, because you're not projecting your way you're perceiving the world. You're able to see it as it really is. You're kind of able to pierce the veil of the illusion. You look beyond the Maya or the matrix, whatever you want to call it. And you're able to see the world as it really is. So same thing with our emotion. Instead of like, oh, I'm angry, I feel, okay, I am experiencing rage right now. You're not actually the rage. You're a soul that is having a human experience experiencing the rage, right? So we're able to go right back to the root of what we are as a soul, and that's the observer. And that emotion, when you're able to really do that in a genuine way, it, I believe, has no power over you, and it also dissipates very quickly. So it allows you to kind of bring yourself back into more of a balanced state so you can navigate easier.
Beautiful. Yeah, so we also have something called neuroplasticity. The more we practice mindfulness and sensory perception and feeling those senses, we become more of that. You know, so we are what we practice most of. Simple as that. So thank you. That's a good thank you. Yeah, well, that's a good one, mate. But journaling, do you journal? Because I love journaling, and it, you know, gives me a chance to explore and understand my thoughts even deeper, and my emotions, and
100%.
It's amazing how we connect and arise, and stuff that arises from, that's locked into the from the unconsciousness.
So touching on that, if you give me a moment to bring up this thought I came into the other day.
Please.
Now, I'll let you know, viewer, this is just my perspective, okay? And by no means is it gospel. This is just the way I interpret it. But we're speaking about, emotions and things that hold us back. And I'm a strong believer in that those who are fearful and insecure create the experience of unsafety for themselves and everyone around them. Fear, anger, and violence are not there to make you violent or afraid. They're there to make you understand it. Only by doing this can you move with it and diffuse or transmute it. For those that are running away, only pure annihilation awaits for them. And it, by running from fear, running from those things that don't serve and you think they're bad, it literally comes back 10 times more, and you're actually the one that is feeding the collective fear. A huge part of me, you know, wants people to actually go through that deep pain so they understand it, you know, but you can't force people to do it, right? People forget that millions of lives that were sacrificed on battlefields so they could be here in the past. And for what? Just, these people are brutally slaughtered and friends stolen from in front of their eyes for people to simply say that violence is bad or war is evil. And why do you think it's there in the first place? It's because of fear and money to control others because of fear, or insecurities for other people's beliefs being greater than others. you know, and so they want to control and push their beliefs on others. So, you know, because of fear, that's entirely comes full circle. And the worst part about all of this is that the brave, those that are chosen to fight on those battlefields, that are giving their lives for these people, for everyone, for the collective, and that's what happened in our past, it's our human nature, the brave actually are the ones that are dying brutally for the cowards. They're the ones that are giving their lives for those who are really the ones projecting fear. So it's kind of like a very, you know, a painful thing to understand that in order, it takes so much energy, so much power, so much focus to be brave for then ultimately them to just be giving their lives for those that are cowards, you know? And the only way forward is to understand the importance of violence, fear, and terror. It is there because people are afraid. They are afraid of being real and accepting it as a part of them. As much as you are light, viewer, as much as you are love and peace and joy, and guess what? You are full of the darkest energy that exists in this universe as well. And if you don't believe it, that's actually what's creating your experience right now. We're a full balance of the two. And people keep running from the fear, and they run from the darkness, which leads power to it, and they're never able to integrate it. And that's what anxiety comes from. And so all the other crappy, shitty emotions that we don't want to experience because everyone's running and nobody wants to sit with it, you know?
Get sick from that.
Exactly.
Too.
So people are afraid to be in the truth and they choose to spiritually bypass pretending everything's love and light. They're comfortable in their web of false safety and love. I say, be your anger, be your hatred, be your rage and burn with it. Then your burning radiance can shine through in its purest form. You're able to live in the light and you can embody the light as much as you like because you've integrated your darkness. You've integrated the shadow, you know, and I think that's the most important thing for, you know, not just men, but the whole world to do, really, not to run, you know.
Mate, we've done the full circle. This is about living in your disturbance, being, you know, being like face your fear, face that darkness like you mentioned, right? It is about that. So, yeah, that's beautiful, mate. That's really cool. We got a few more questions. Have you ever experimented with different techniques such as deep breathing, visualization to help shift from ego-driven reactions to the observer? So the whole idea is to get into that. The whole thing here is to get into our observer state, the observer.
Yeah. Yeah, so the breath work is a very powerful one. Sometimes, you know, we're in an environment in day-to-day life where we don't have time to do a full breath. Or say, for example, you cut off on the road or something and then immediately anger comes up. Like, how can you experience this emotion or this state in a way where it's teaching you about yourself? Mm-hmm. And how can you use it as a experience to kind of level up from? Because when you act out of your emotion, you literally level down, you downgrade. You're not in your true power. So, you know, it's hard when you're in that state and it's so impulsive with the response or the reaction, you know. And last weekend I had a show in Perth and this guy, he stepped me and he, you know, I was about to punch on with this random stranger for no reason at all. And it's like, do I want to give my power to this person and create a super painful, stupid experience, or do I instead live with the pain of discipline instead of the pain of regret, you know? And it does take more energy to just kind of bite the bullet and you know what you could do to this guy, or you know what you could do in a situation like that. But having the strength to not do it actually builds your power way more than acting out of it, you know.
Beautiful.
So breathing's very powerful. Deep breath straight away is good. Thinking about the bigger picture for a split second if you can. And also, bringing your attention back to observing the rage or whatever emotion is coming up instead of acting out of it. By observing it, how can you observe it with the perspective of love? As in, it's not, we're not judging the fact that we are angry. We're not upset that we're jealous. We're not pissed off at ourselves that we're judgmental of other people. Instead, we allow that emotional experience to be there and we can accept it, that it's a part of us that we're, you know, creating, with the perspective of love, as in non-judgment of why we're experiencing that. It's not a negative emotion, it's just emotion. It just needed to be felt in the body. And so how can you do that with that perspective of, you know, it's okay to feel that, you're allowed to feel it, and you know, you're the one worthy enough to transmute and feel that, you know.
Beautiful. So the couple of questions here, we kind of have to just for the listener. And guys, just listening in and see what comes up for yourself. Like, how can you differentiate between the voice of the observer and the voice of the ego within ourselves or within you? What are some practical ways to quieten the ego and to access the wisdom of the observer more consistently? Have you ever experienced a moment where you were able to detach from your ego and observe a situation objectively? What was that experience like for you? Here's a few statements to kind of, we're winding up the podcast here. And the observer within us provides the sense of clarity and perspective amongst the chaos of our thoughts and emotions. The ego can sometimes hinder our growth and cause reactive behavior, which gets us in more trouble. But with self-awareness, we can manage its influence. And one more, by embracing the observer and understanding the role of the ego, we can navigate life challenges in greater equanimity, quality, and peace of the mind. And man, that's where we're going with it. So yeah, man, so this is where we are. Looking forward to section two of this podcast, section two. And Gabriel, so cool to have you here, man.
Thank you, brother.
Good stuff. And yeah, so keep rocking on, guys. Thank you for listening in. It's Gabriel and Nick here from Holistic Health Anxiety Coaching. All the best to you, and namaste.
Namaste.
Save on O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner. Get two cans of O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner for just $8. Valid in-store only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.